Welcome to Digital Marketing That Puts People First, brought to you by The Online Co., where we believe the best way to help businesses grow is to do exactly that, put people first. I'm James Palmwell, and in this episode, we have Vicky Fletcher. Vicky works as the Global Content and Creative Leader for Flight Centre. She's a seasoned content marketer with a keen understanding of the ever-changing business landscape and a knack for finding solutions in saturated markets. She really knows what it takes to cut through the noise. As a creative wordsmith, editor, and digital communicator, Vicky recognizes the power of storytelling in engaging audiences and driving conversions. Collaborating with a diverse team and bringing a wide range of skills to the table, Vicky has the versatile experience needed to cover all aspects of the content marketing spectrum. Vicky has also been featured in esteemed publications such as Amnesty International, the Sydney Morning Herald, the Canberra Times, just to name a few. Her work has spanned across various industries from travel and photography to health brands and music journalism with just about everything in between. So whether you're an aspiring marketer looking for insights, a seasoned professional seeking inspiration, or simply curious about the power of content in today's world, you're in for a treat. Vicky, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us a bit about yourself. How did you get into marketing in the first place?
I got into marketing through travel writing, more or less. I originally wanted to be a translator and was studying in France and was going to stay over there and do a degree in translation, but then ended up coming back to Australia and did a Masters of Journalism at UNSW in Sydney. And then from there, I went into travel writing and content marketing, and ended up doing some freelance work for Flight Centre before landing a full-time gig with Flight Centre, and then as a content writer, and then I've sort of worked my way up and stayed in the marketing space from there.
Yeah, lovely. So a passion for travel plus a passion for journalism lends itself pretty well to content marketing for Flight Centre.
It certainly does, yeah.
It's a good background. Did you have a passion for marketing in itself, or was that sort of an outflow of the other two things?
Yeah, it was more the passion for travel that sort of got me into it. And I guess sort of it's very easy to market something that you're really passionate about. So marketing, travel, and, you know, content writing, that sort of goes hand in hand for me, yeah.
Yeah, cool. Now, in your current role, what are the types of content or the different channels that you're overseeing at the moment?
Yeah, so as the global leader for creative and content, I'm essentially in charge of everything, the way the Flight Centre brand looks, feels, smells, tastes, all of that stuff. So as well as all of the creative that you see, so that's everything that we put out on brand on like billboards through to our social media channels, so everything from LinkedIn through to TikTok, Instagram, etc., and then public relations as well. So we do a lot of work in different regions, and in particular in Australia, with like the media putting out sort of owned content and stuff. So yeah.
Okay, so it's offline and online, as well as the whole PR side.
Yeah.
So tell us about the industry, the travel industry. It's obviously the last three and a bit years has been pretty bumpy for you guys.
Yeah.
How's things tracking now?
Yeah, really, really good. Yeah, it's a great place to be now. It's definitely been a struggle. Obviously sort of pre-COVID, Flight Centre is the biggest travel company in the Southern Hemisphere. Started in Brisbane, where we're still based now, where our head office is. We had, I think, I can't remember how many stores exactly we had, about 800 stores. And then when COVID hit, there was a massive impact to the business. So Flight Centre stood down and made redundant 70% of its staff. So I was really fortunate that I was one of just 12 out of 130 people in marketing who stayed on.
Wow.
Yeah. And the reason that our team stayed on is because we looked after social media community management. So a lot of what we were doing was communicating with people who were trying to get home from overseas who were stranded. And then, of course, people who had needed to cancel their travel plans and get refunds and all that kind of stuff. So it was a real 2020 was quite a time to be working in travel. And then as sort of borders have opened and we've come out of that, Obviously, you know, a lot of people really, really keen to get overseas. I think this year for European summer is going to be absolutely wild because everyone who didn't go last year is going this year for sure. And yeah, it's really exciting. There's a lot of great movement happening globally in travel, and so it's a really good place to be now.
So do you think there's like a bit of a bounce back? People lost two to three years, I suppose, of overseas travel, traveling domestically or whatnot. Now they're saying, you know, let me out. I want to go and see. I want to go and see the world.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And we've seen, you know, shifts in the way that people are traveling as well. Like, we have a lot more people traveling solo now than they were pre-COVID. Obviously, there's a lot of people visiting friends and relatives and stuff overseas. But then we've got a lot of people as well who are spending more on their travel now. I think because, you know, they missed out for so long, they'll, you know, book that first class or business class ticket, or, you know, that luxury cruise that they right. wouldn't have done before, because, you know, sort of making up for lost time.
So even with rising cost of living and interest rates, still people are going for it.
Yeah, yeah. There's definitely a bit of sort of both ends of the spectrum there. But as sort of, you know, from when borders opened at the end of 2021, there's definitely sort of a shift into people spending more on potentially less trips or longer trips than they were pre-COVID.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Quality over quantity, maybe.
Yeah, I think so. It probably has a lot to do with like airline capacity and stuff. So coming out of Australia, we don't have the airline capacity that we had pre-COVID. So there's less sort of options. So I think that's probably, yeah, people are making the most of it when they do go.
Yeah, good fun. Now, were you in your current role when the pandemic hit? You were doing something else?
No. So when the pandemic hit, I was the assistant team leader of the content and social media team for Flight Centre Australia.
A busy place at that time.
Yeah. Yeah, very. And then I moved into the team leader role. And then in January 2022, we globalised our marketing team. So prior to that, Flight Centre as a brand operates in Australia, New Zealand, Canada, the UK and South Africa. And prior to January 2022, each region was really doing all of their marketing from start to finish in region. So by globalising the team, we found heaps of efficiencies. You know, every region has a tendency to think that they're really unique and they're different from the others. But what we've learned is that our customers are more similar in each region than we might have expected before. Okay. So we've found heaps of like synergies across regions. Yeah. So I moved into the global role, so overseeing the strategy for content, social and PR in January 2022. And then in January this year, I took over creative as well.
Okay, so you were somewhat frontline social media when it was maybe the busiest place. Everyone's at home trying to get refunds or trying to reallocate their travel. That was you facing the storm.
Yeah.
and I imagine lots of people at the store level having to fight fires as well.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I think, you know, as busy as it was for us working in social media, it was probably a lot easier for us than it is for them in stores. You know, a lot of people were really upset trying to get their money back and, you know, cancelled travel plans and stuff. So, yeah, the guys in store really, they were really on the front line during that time.
Yeah, feel for them. I guess it was two economies, wasn't there? There was a lot of people absolutely flat out. You know, you think of travel and health, and other people sitting at home with nothing to do, you know, stood down. it was chalk and cheese. All right. So, in terms of your current social media strategy and what it is you're doing, we've got people listening from small, medium, and large businesses. What's working for Flight Centre? What's happening at the moment that's just, you know, really humming?
Yeah, I think. It's a very big question, isn't it? And I think so. we essentially, because we are a global marketing function and a global company, we have split our social media platforms as to whether they're run regionally, so whether it's run from an Australia level or from a global level. And we've really, it depends on the platform as to what we've done that for. So for our global social media platforms that we're running are YouTube, LinkedIn, and TikTok, and we run those through. Essentially, we share the content for who's creating the content, and the strategy is set at a global level. And then Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter are what we run regionally. So there's separate accounts for Facebook for Flight Centre Australia, Facebook for Flight Centre New Zealand, et cetera, et cetera. And the reason we've done that is because the content that resonates with customers on those platforms differs. So, for example, customers in Flight Centre New Zealand, you know, a few months ago they had horrific storms and flooding, and when they were putting out content on their Facebook and Instagram account, the, you know, people in New Zealand really wanted to know what was going on, if the stores were open, you know, they wanted that sort of like news updates. So that's what we use those platforms for. And then, you know, on TikTok, for example, is a completely different audience, completely different strategy that is run globally because of what we're trying to achieve there. So kind of differs. The other thing is everything that we do is really platform first. So, you know, I think it's really easy to, you know, as marketers, there's so much that you're trying to do, so many messages you're trying to put out, that it's easy to get caught up in the creating something and then cloning it across different social platforms, where we are really focused on, and this is why I guess our global team is, it's that's where we've found really great efficiencies there, because, you know, we might create a reel for Instagram that goes live on Flight Centre Canada's Instagram, but then we can take it and put that on different our different social accounts. But then that reel would never go on TikTok. It would never go on Facebook, because we know that that content doesn't work on those platforms. So really focusing on who the audience is on the platform and creating content that works for them is really important for us.
Okay. Could you give me an example of something that would work on Insta but not on TikTok? What's something that would, you know, resonate one way but not the other?
Yeah. So on TikTok, we've found TikTok is very, very interesting place. There's a lot of really different sort of algorithm things going on TikTok, and what gets served to people is really unique to them. But what we find sort of works on TikTok is longer forms, like TikToks that go up to, say, like a minute long, that have more detailed information, say, about like tips of places you can go. So if you're traveling to Italy, if you're going to Tuscany, okay, these are definitely things you should eat, do, drink, visit, whatever, while you're in Tuscany, a longer form. Where on Instagram, we might put similar kind of content, but it would be much shorter, and it might have music over the top. So sort of more inspirational kind of content as opposed to actual in-depth tips and stuff like that.
Okay. So is the focus around destinations and sort of stimulating interest in destinations, or do you have other content strategies as well?
Yeah, it really depends. So our we've got different layers to our content strategy. So one is inspiring. So everything we try and do on our social and through all of our content is to inspire and educate, or inspire or educate, I guess. So, and also to talk about why Flight Centre too. So anything that's inspirational. So we run campaigns throughout the year. So say we have a campaign for Europe, then we would do a bunch of inspirational content like that. So inspirational reels on Instagram, tips on TikTok. We might do a blog post and a carousel or something on Facebook, all sort of leading to all like the same theme of content, but the actual output for the different platforms is different. Then educational kind of content, I guess that the TikTok like tips and stuff, or, you know, how to pack for your summer holiday, packing tips, things like that, comes into that. And then, you know, how to get the most out of when you're booking a flight, sort of, you know, teaching people how to search for their flights or educating them around different options of how you can get to Europe. For example, there's all these complex air options. You know, you can get a round the world ticket that might actually be cheaper than going direct to Europe and home again. Or, you know, some people want to splurge and do one leg from Sydney to Singapore in business class and then Singapore to London in economy, stuff like that, that you can kind of do. Or you could fly into London, fly home from Rome, all those sort of things. So educating people about how to travel better, I guess. And then also why Flight Centre. So a lot of that educational stuff as well comes from our travel experts. So we'll highlight our people and, you know, sort of what they're doing to help customers and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's sort of multifaceted, our content strategy. And it's also really dependent on the campaigns that we're running. So what we do with our retail campaign, so we've got like a brand layer, which is all about educating why Flight Centre. We, you know, show all those sort of tips and stuff. And then there's the retail campaign, which is at a regional level. So we will do like a 10-week campaign where we have an inspirational phase and then a conversion phase. So we might put out a lot of content that's talking about a destination at the start of the campaign. And then the back half of the campaign is when the deals and actually targeting customers on social with those flight deals and package deals sort of comes in. So there's, and every campaign that we have, there's, you know, different sort of content strategies, whether that's on our website, doing blogs, whether it's across social, whether it's in PR, all that kind of stuff.
Well, my takeaway is there's an awful lot of content, right? as I'm taking notes here, it's like, which of the next 20 questions do I ask? I guess in terms of the marketing funnel, you're inspiring at the top of the funnel and you're converting at the bottom of the funnel. And in the middle, you're educating. But people are potentially, and I don't know if how well you can measure this, but moving from you know, Instagram and onto TikTok, and they're touching you across the different platforms and then making a decision in that process. So maybe they hadn't thought of Europe and you've inspired them, but then they get tips on what they should do in Europe, you know, across on TikTok. And then maybe they're on the website, you know, taking advantage of a conversion campaign. Am I talking roughly how people might journey through that?
Yeah, pretty much. So, you know, we have touch points across, and obviously, you know, the realm that I'm talking about is that sort of top of funnel of inspiring and educating. But then we work really closely with our digital team who actually target, you know, ads with product in them, so package deals and flights and stuff to specific audiences. And we also have quite a robust email journey strategy as well that our automation team works on. So, you know, somebody might get an app push, you know, when they're going past a store, or, you know, if you've looked at certain pages on the website, say you've looked at a blog on Italy, then, you know, you could get an email about that with inspiration, or, you know, have you booked your flight yet, all that kind of stuff. So we are, I guess, the customer journey and where we're touching them across is, you know, it's quite mapped out of how we kind of do that for each campaign. Yeah.
Mapped out and multifaceted.
Yeah.
Okay, and linking to blogs, you know, just a very old school sort of idea, but still lots of handy tips and people are up for that.
Yeah. And then even it's probably one of the best things that came out of COVID is with QR codes. So
we all know how to use them now.
you know, one example of that is pre-COVID we would have, so certain product types in travel lend themselves to different channels. So that's obviously really important to us as well. So cruise, for example, we do a lot of press advertising and print media for cruise because that works really well for that customer segment. And with QR codes now, we can actually track how many people are looking at an ad and actually scanning it and going through to the website, where, you know, pre-COVID, no one used QR codes, no one knew what to do with them. So you couldn't really track that. So, yeah.
Yeah, which is awesome because traditionally print and those sorts of things, it's a bit of a mystery bag as to, you know, what effect it's having.
Exactly.
Yes, we're measuring more and more. Yeah, awesome. How's Twitter work for you?
Yeah, that's a really interesting one. it's been quite the interesting platform over the last couple of years, hasn't it? I think it's not a huge focus for us in all of our regions in South Africa. Our team uses it quite well. It resonates with the South African audience a lot more than we've found in our other regions. So they use it a lot for sharing. Sometimes they share like deals and things, but they'll also share like links to blogs and inspiration and stuff like that. But in the other regions, we're not really using it. It's probably quite a difficult one that we've been in a couple of years. We've sort of been in a position of, you know, what do we do with this? But rather than that sort of proactively pushing content on Twitter, we really use it as a sense check or sort of like a temperature check for how people are responding to the brand.
Because, that's interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, if you get somebody complaining about something, often they'll go to Twitter and post about it and tag. Yes. So it's a really good way to know if something isn't right, and we can sort of address that really quickly with our community management team. So yeah, we probably use Twitter more in that way than any other way at the moment.
I actually recall at one of the CMO conferences a few years ago, the head of Twitter Australia was there saying how Australians don't use Twitter very much, yeah. Which is an odd thing from him. But I guess if it's true, it's true.
Yeah.
All right. So in terms of your sort of breakup of efforts, are you putting, I don't know, 50% into Instagram and 10% into TikTok, or is there some sort of breakup? Are you splitting it all evenly, or how would that look?
That's a good question. I think we're not, I probably couldn't say definitively what the split is, but say for a campaign, we probably, I'll just use Flights on Australia as the example, because sure. Each region sort of does different posts at different frequencies based on their audience size and sort of what campaigns and stuff they're running. But we post every day for Flight Centre Australia on Instagram, Facebook. We probably post 2-3 times a week on TikTok. We would like to post on TikTok more. It's just one of those things finding a sweet spot.
Yeah, there's a barrier to the content creation, isn't it? There's a lot of effort for something that, you know, the chewing gum loses its flavour fairly quickly and, yeah. You know, you spend an enormous amount of time creating it.
Yeah, yeah. But it's, sometimes I think with those things, like it seems like more effort, and it's kind of one of those things you've sort of got to get into the habit of making the content and making it and not being too attached with how perfect it is, particularly because TikTok is quite a rough around the edges platform. Not everything's really polished. So, you know, we have tried to post stuff that we post on Facebook or Instagram on there, and it just doesn't work.
Because it's too polished?
Yeah. So any brand so interesting. Stuff, essentially we won't get our designers to make anything for TikTok. We'll get like our content team to do it, and they'll just do it on their phone really rough, and that tends to work better. So
that's so interesting, because a lot of corporates are like, it's not on brand. We don't want that. But
yeah.
The authentic stuff can just work.
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge, and I think that's for companies to sort of overcome that. I think, you know, if you want to appeal to customers, you need to go to the platform where they are, and you need to speak to them in that language that they want to consume on that platform. So, you know, TikTok is that perfect example of you have to do that kind of a bit raw and show, you know, kind of break the fourth wall and show what it's like behind the scenes in order to you know, appeal to that audience. So yeah.
I'm glad that you talked about the frequency that you're posting. It's just a question I get asked from time to time, right? You know, I think people assume there's a magic number of how often you should post, and it's really dependent on the platform and on the customer and a bunch of things. But did you say on Facebook and Instagram you're posting 7 days a week? Was that my understanding, or daily?
Yeah, more or less. So we've done a lot of testing around this. So every 6 to 12 months, each of our regions will robustly test this. So we will say we're posting once a day for 7 days. We will ramp that up to twice or three times a day for a month period and see what happens to our reach and our engagement. And then we might, if we notice it dropping, we might go completely the other way and only post like 3 times a week instead of 7. So we've done that on all of our platforms globally to really test what's working and what's not. We also switch up the type of content that we're doing. So we might have, like, we have regular segments that we do. For example, every Friday we post travel news, which is essentially 2 or 3 stories of things that have happened in the travel world this week that are quite interesting. Some of them are hilarious and, you know, very nuanced, and some of them are, you know, quite big things about, you know, airlines bringing back capacity into Australia or something. We also do sort of like travel tips or hacks one day a week. We might do customer reviews another day, you know, highlighting our people another day, that kind of stuff. But yeah, the frequency that we post, we've put a lot of effort in, and it's never a set and forget thing. So, you know, currently I think we're posting it like every single day for Australia, but then Canada might be posting half of that because it's based on the follower size as well. So, you know, if they then started to post the same amount that Flight Centre Australia has, but they only have a third of the followers, it's going to impact their reach and their engagement on the platform.
So the counterintuitive question is, if you're posting seven days a week and you start to see a drop, it may be that posting three times a week actually sees a lift because you're allowing your content to flow through the algorithm better.
Yeah.
Or maybe not. And maybe increasing to 14. I guess maybe I meet two people. There's the post as much as you possibly can people, and the I can't get around to posting. You know, we're not very consistent. But consistency is so important. And then the variety is the second thing. It's just got to be a range of topics.
Yeah. And it's really important, I think, probably one of the biggest things is data and like looking at the results that you're getting. Because, you know, rather than posting and then continuously posting the same thing and going, like, I don't know why it's not working. Yeah. You know, you've really got to look at what is working and what's not working and consistently test and change that up to make sure that you are giving your audience what they want. You know, rather than trying to post the same thing over and over with the same results.
Yeah, it's great advice. Talk to me a bit about YouTube. What are you doing there?
Yeah, YouTube is a huge focus for us.
Can imagine.
Yeah. It's YouTube used to be one of the platforms that used to be run regionally. So we had five separate YouTube accounts for each of our flights in our regions. And then at the end of last year, we globalized that. So we pulled everything together because we realized that we were watering down our strategy essentially by trying to do the same thing on five different channels. So, you know, there's no reason for doing that. We can pull it all together. So we're really focused on creating different types of series. So consistency on YouTube is really important. So we'll post a video, you know, every week at the same time and do shorts as well. So the shorts videos on YouTube has been a massive growth driver for us in followers. We've actually managed to grow our YouTube followers from about 4,500 in November last year, and I think we've just hit 160k. So we've put a lot of effort into this. Series, so consistent posting, but also trying different types of series. So we had we did a great little series at the end of last year called Kids Talk, where we essentially asked a whole bunch of kids travel questions, you know, like where does pizza come from, how long does it take to get to this place, you know, that currencies and random things. And, you know, obviously kids are hilarious, so that went really well. but then we've done some series around, you know, travel tips and tricks. So like how to pack carry-on only if you're going on a winter holiday, you know, tips for traveling with kids on long haul flights, anything and everything. And then throughout the rest of the year, we're going to try different types of content. So again, it's really about that testing and trying new things to see what's resonating with people.
Yeah, the carry-on only, we had a chat with friends recently planning on a winter holiday for carry-on only, and we're like, you can't do that, so I'll have to watch your video and see. Maybe it actually is possible. It sounds madness. You know, you find yourself in a minus 10 degrees with no coat because it wouldn't fit in your carry-on, you're in trouble. Yeah.
Yeah, no. You got to wear the coat.
Yeah. Just wear lots of layers in the plane maybe. All right, so you would have a number of different customer personas, I suppose. Yep. There would be the, you know, the traditional grey nomads. There would be the, well, instead of me guessing, why don't you tell us what they are?
Yeah, so the biggest focuses for us are solo travellers, families and couples, and then there's obviously different age brackets in each of those as well. And basically what we do, everything that we do is really focused on who the customer is, what platform they're on, and trying to appeal to exactly what they need from us at that point in the customer journey and that point in their life. And I'll take families, for example, because families are a massive opportunity for us as a brand. So, you know, when you talk about brand awareness and consideration, a lot of families know who we are, but potentially they don't consider booking with Flight Centre because they might go elsewhere for whatever reason. So focusing on, you know, hitting them on the platforms that we know that they're on, and then educating them as to why Flight Centre and what we can actually do for them. So, you know, that's Kids Talk series on YouTube was a great example of that, of, you know, trying to appeal to the kids and the parents, you know, so trying different strategies there.
Yeah, cool. So then you're creating content for whether it's, you know, solos, families, couples, and then the different breakdowns of the ages.
Yeah.
And I guess there's overlap for some things and other things resonate differently.
Yeah.
On the age group thing, Facebook, what age groups do you find that working with?
It's really interesting because actually the people who follow us on Instagram and Facebook, the largest group is the same age. So like actually like 25 to 34 year olds. Where
on Facebook?
Yeah.
I didn't think anyone under 35 used Facebook anymore.
I know, it's quite funny. But then the people who engage with us, so that's people who follow us, then people who engage with us is slightly skewed older. So, yeah, and it also depends as well. So, obviously, our digi team do a lot of targeting to different age groups, yeah. and you'll see the different pickup in, you know, what products are being clicked on and booked and stuff like that too. But, yeah, it's quite interesting, Facebook.
Yeah. So just to clarify, you have there's a content team, you're creating content, and there's another digital team that's on the you know, the paid side who are specifically looking for conversions.
Yeah, exactly. So basically we split it as anything that is content, so inspirational, educational, and then anything that's an actual product. So we're trying to get them to purchase.
Yeah, great. How have you gone with attributing your work with, you know, actual, you know, lead sales dollars in the end, considering, you know, TikTok and Facebook, they're definitely not sharing data with, you know, Google Ads or whichever, whoever is your traffic, catching them with in the end.
Yeah.
Have you had any solution to that?
Yeah, I think for us, the biggest thing is we look at, and we're really focused on, our team is responsible for moving the dial on awareness and consideration. And then that's the other reason that we have these longer tail campaigns. So, you know, we've found that having too many messages in market crowds that and sure. doesn't do much for us. So if we can focus on less messages, less, say, you know, less destinations, but then do the, you know, the warm up top of funnel activity, then we tend to get better conversions. So at the back end of the campaign. So while you might not be able to attribute it specifically to this Instagram reel or TikTok post or whatever, we've found over the longer period of time that having these longer campaigns with more inspo content at the start, conversion at the end, sees more conversions and we're getting better results. So that's sort of how we measure that.
Okay, so you're measuring the brand awareness and consideration and allowing the other team to measure, you know, ROI, I guess, in a hard term.
Yeah, we're kind of like the front of that for them, essentially, yes. even though you can't attribute it directly. And then, you know, and we do attribute with the campaign and, you know, hard TTV, like how much money the actual campaign's made for the company as well.
Yes.
That's what's changed since we've done the longer tail campaigns as well. And then also, obviously, for our team, it's how many social followers and engagement rate that we're getting. That's the other big thing.
Yeah, so pushing those metrics yields better return. I mean, the research is really clear that increasing your brand awareness drives better sales.
Yeah.
It's just when you get into there and you're going, well, hang on, what was my ROI for this TikTok video? That's there's no magic bullet for that just yet.
No.
Maybe we'll get there. We'll see. So talking about customers, I mean, we have this philosophy around putting people first, and that's really what you're saying. You've got to understand the customer deeply, then you've got to choose the right platform, then you've got to communicate with that customer on that platform correctly. I mean, that really aligns with our marketing philosophy. Do you have a personal marketing philosophy, or does Flight Centre have a marketing philosophy that you've developed over time?
Yeah, so I mean, Flight Centre's overarching company philosophy is to open up the world for those who want to see. And that in itself, I think, is everything that we do in marketing. So, you know, obviously we're in the business of travel, which is in the business of experiences rather than physical products. So giving people experiences is at the heart of everything that we do. So, yeah, you know, that's really what it is. It's about a feel-good experience. You know, we might be sending somebody on their very first trip overseas where they're, you know, going to travel for months and make all these friends and lifetime of memories. We might be sending someone on a solo trip where they're going to learn heaps about themselves. You know, families going away for the first time together, connecting with loved ones overseas. It's really about that human connection and experiences. And that's what travel's about. And so that's everything that we do in our marketing. And that's, you know, I guess why as well we really focus on platform first and making sure that everything that we're doing really resonates with the people who are consuming that content.
On that platform, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it tricky to keep people creating content focused on the end user, or does it go down a, you know, creative, arty, technical, you know, this effect, that effect type of, I guess in our industry there is a lot of technology and it is easy to kind of take your eye off the customer and find yourself in a world of technology. Do you encounter that? And if so, how do you overcome it?
Yeah, it's it is true. I think that there is definitely a lot of noise. And I think as a brand marketing team, we are really focused on our goals and our strategies. And so, you know, like the five key things that we are working towards this year, what are they? Everything that we do in every single channel has to speak to one of those things. And if it doesn't, then we need to question why we're doing it. Yeah. So staying really focused and making sure everyone in the team from, you know, our head of marketing through to the most junior person in the team is on that same page and knows exactly why we're doing something and what the end goal is. And as a brand, Flight Centre, our global managing director is really, really good at that vision and, yep, you know, where we're going. So then in marketing, it's really easy for us to go, that's what we're trying to achieve.
Yeah, cool.
And this is what this little piece of the puzzle does towards that kind of thing. But I think also, it's important to, when you're doing something, you know, think of the customer and that specific customer that you're talking to and try not to worry about what anyone else might think. So, you know, obviously that's, Flight Centre is a mass market retailer. That's probably one of the biggest challenges is, okay, when we are talking to a 40-year-old solo female traveller, don't worry about what all these other customers might think. This is who you're talking to now.
Great.
So really focusing on that is important.
And really empathize with her.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then your content's better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's easy to, you know, sort of think I have to appeal to everyone. I have to do everything for everybody. And I think that's where all that noise sort of comes in.
Well, that's the classic mistake, isn't it? If you try to communicate to everyone, you end up communicating to no one.
Yeah.
All right. Most businesses that I speak to really struggle with their marketing. If you could give them one piece of advice, what would that be?
I think it would be to figure out who your customer is and what they want. You know, what problem are you solving for them? And focus on that and, you know, figure out how to educate them or, you know, give that to them. But yeah, really figuring out who the customer is probably the most important thing, and speaking to them in whatever platform they are on.
Well, you're absolutely speaking my language there. hopefully, it simplifies things for people. If you just get in the mind of your customer, that's it's a very, very good start. I do think sometimes people jump onto, hey, we need to be on Instagram, and skip that customer bit. Yeah. Like everyone's on, all my competitors are on Instagram. I need to go there. Well, you know, have we thought about this deeply?
Yeah. Why? Why do you want to be on Instagram?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And there's marketing professionals listening to this as well as business owners who are looking at this from different angles. So I guess the advice to the business owners is don't just do the channel. Just have other your customers there, and then how do you communicate with them there?
Yeah.
And last question, if you could speak to yourself 10 years ago, what advice would you give yourself?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think probably that it's a good thing to push yourself out of your comfort zone and to feel uncomfortable, because that's where you'll really learn and grow. I think if you, you know, when things are sort of scary, like fear can hold you back and slow that process down. If you can kind of like lean into that, you know, I think it's always the thing that you're most scared of is really, really big. But then once you've done it, it becomes really small and it's not a thing anymore. So I think remembering that the thing that you're scared of will become small.
Yeah.
And you won't think about it. So, you know, leaning into that, and the faster you do it, the quicker it becomes a small thing rather than a big thing.
No, that's awesome. And it's so true, because you look back 10 years ago, the things you were wrestling with are like, ah, piece of cake.
Yeah.
not a problem at all.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Vicky, for today. Thank you for giving us insights into Flight Center. I'm sure people listening will find that really helpful and insightful. So I appreciate your transparency on that. And thank you for your terrific advice.
Thanks very much for having me.
Well, I hope you found today's episode informative. I know that most businesses struggle with their digital marketing, and that's why we've developed a process over the last 10 years to put together robust and holistic digital marketing strategies to help businesses grow. So if you need help with digital marketing, just Google The Online Co, click the red button to book a quick chat. We'd love to speak with you to see how we can best help. Take care, everyone. Bye.